Amen. I want you to open your Bibles, please, in the 13th chapter of the book of Judges. The 13th chapter of the book of Judges, commencing to read at verse number 1. Let's follow the reading of God's Word, please. Judges chapter 13 and the verse 1. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. And there was a certain man of Zorah, of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman, and said unto her, Behold now, thou art barren, and bearest not. Thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore beware, I pray thee, drink not wine or strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, no razor shall come upon his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the woman came and told her husband, saying, A man of God came unto me, and his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God, very terrible, but I asked him not whence he came, neither told me his name. And he said unto me, Behold, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and now drink no wine or strong drink, neither eat any unclean thing, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death. Then Manoah entreated the Lord and said, O my Lord, let the man of God which thou didst send come again unto us, and teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born. And God hearkened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of God came again unto the woman as she sat in the field. But Manoah, her husband, was not with her. And the woman made haste and ran, and showed her husband, and said unto him, Behold, the man hath appeared unto me that came unto me the other day. And Manoah arose and went after his wife, and came to the man, and said unto him, Art thou the man that spakest unto the woman? And he said, I am. And Manoah said, Now let thy words come to pass. How shall we order the child? How shall we do unto him? And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, Of all that I said unto the woman, let her beware. She shall not eat of anything that cometh of the vine, neither let her drink of the vine, neither let her drink wine or strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing. All that I have commanded her, let her observe. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, I pray thee, let us detain thee until we shall have made ready a kid for thee. The angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, Though thou detain me, I will not eat of thy bread. For if thou wilt offer a burnt offering, thou must offer it unto the Lord. For Manoah knew not that he was an angel of the Lord. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, What is thy name, that when thy sayings come to pass, we may do thee honor? And the angel of the Lord said unto him, Why askest thou after my name, seeing it is secret? So Manoah took a kid with a meat offering, offered it upon the rock unto the Lord, and the angel did wondrously. And Manoah and his wife looked on. Came to pass, when the flame went up toward heaven from off the altar, that the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar, and Manoah and his wife looked on it, and fell on their faces to the ground. But the angel of the Lord did no more appear to Manoah and to his wife. Then Manoah knew that he was an angel of the Lord. Manoah said unto his wife, We shall surely die, because we have seen God. But his wife said unto him, If the Lord were pleased to kill us, he would not have received a burnt offering and a meat offering of our hands, neither would he have shown us all these things, nor would as at this time have told us such things as these. And the woman bare a son, called his name Samson. And the child grew, and the Lord blessed him, and the Spirit of the Lord began to move at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol. Amen. And God will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word for Jesus' sake. Amen. We are introduced in this 13th chapter of the book of Judges to the story of Samson. And of course, it just simply introduces with the verse number 1 that the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. I believe that that opening statement is an important introduction, because thereby we understand why that Samson was needed and why that God brought Samson upon the scene. You see, the pattern is being repeated again and again in this book of Judges. We find that the children of Israel, after their deliverance, after a period of peace and stability, we find that the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. And so the cycle goes on. They grievously sin against the Lord, and because of their sin, they are brought unto judgment. And because of the judgment, then they are humbled before God, and they cry unto God, and they repent of their sin, and they call on God to deliver them, and God delivers them from their oppression and from their bondage. And so we see the cycle is going around again. It seems to be that once again, Israel refuses to learn the lesson of the past. And that's why it says in verse 1, the children of Israel did evil again. They did it again, friends, because they did it again and again. God had raised up judge after judge over the people of Israel, and yet whenever the judge has passed away, they go back again to their old ways and to their old sin. We find that indeed they would go after Balaam. Balaam was a religion which was morally rotten. It was sensual. It was absolutely corrupt. It was vile. And yet the tragedy is, here's the children of Israel, the people of God, and they're going after such false idolatry and false gods. You know, the Bible tells us in verse 1 that the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines. Notice, it was the Lord that delivered them. You see, God judges them because of their sin. Man always thinks that he somehow is going to get away with, but God delivers them into the hand of the Philistines. Now, the Philistine was a strong people. They were a mighty people. People were afraid of them. And yet it was a people, not a great nation. It was simply a people of five cities. The city of Gaza, the city of Ashkelon, the city of Ashdod, the city of Ekron, the city of Gath. These five cities were the cities of the people of the Philistines. But sad to say that whilst there weren't a multitude of people, yet they held Israel under bondage for some 40 years. 40 sad years, until sadly the children of Israel had come accustomed. You notice what it doesn't say in verse number 1. It does not say that because of this bondage that the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. Other places it does, but not here. And the reason for that was simple, friend, that these were a people that once were a liberated and free people, but now they have got accustomed to oppression. They have got accustomed to bondage, and now they're not even crying unto God for deliverance. What a tragedy. What an apostasy. What a falling away. What a stubbornness there is in the hearts of the children of Israel, that they will not bow the knee, they will not humble themselves, they will not cry out unto God. But at such a time as this, God sends a deliverer. God sends a person called Samson. Now, there are two meanings in Samson's name. First of all, it means little sunshine. And of course, you can understand whenever a mother would look into the face of her child that she was longing for, because remember, she was barren. And so therefore, when her child was born, she would call him, "He's my little sunshine." And that was what you would think. And so she called his name Samson. But the name Samson not only means little sunshine, it means the strong or daring one. And friend, whenever you think about Samson, indeed, that's what you think of. You think of strength. He was well called. He was a man of strength. But that's only half the story. Because the sad reality about Samson, friend, that whilst he had a strong name and whilst he was associated with strength, yet the tragedy of Samson's story is this. It was how he lost his strength because of his disobedience and because of his sin against God. And I'll tell you this, child of God, if you're here this morning and if you're wandering away from God, you'll lose your strength when you go out of fellowship with God. You lose the influence of your life for God and for good. If you walk away from the Lord, you need to return unto the Lord and thank God He will abundantly pardon. God will graciously and wonderfully forgive. There's some things I want us to notice in this story before we finish this morning. First of all, notice the revealing. The background of Samson, the revelation concerning his birth. Now, whenever you think about the judges, Samson stands out from the rest, and I'll tell you why. Every other judge that's mentioned, we find that he appears on the scene. He's introduced whenever he's about to take office. In other words, in adult life. Not so Samson. The Holy Ghost tells us not only about this man Samson in his adult life, but the Bible takes us away back before he was ever born, before he was ever conceived in his mother's womb. And so we find that Samson is mentioned before that he was actually conceived, before Samson was ever born. Now his mother's name is not mentioned. I don't know why the Holy Ghost left her out. But friend, I believe that the Holy Ghost always does things for reasons. He does mention his father's name, but Samson's mother's name is not given. She's called the woman. Now, I know that wouldn't go down very well in the modern day as women's live, but I just leave it with the Holy Ghost and let him do what's right. But I'll tell you this, my friend. The Bible tells us something wonderful about this woman. This woman, my friend, Samson's mother, although she was not mentioned by name, I'll tell you this, she was a godly woman. She was a godly woman. And I'll tell you, it's not a matter about your name, friend. If you're godly, if you love the Lord, then I'll tell you, you're known in heaven, no matter whether you're ever recognized on earth. People are so concerned today about being recognized on earth, and yet, friend, their name is not written in heaven. What a tragedy that they have made the wrong choice. I said to the young couple this morning, to David and Diane, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. It's God first. It's not me first. It's God first. It's thee first. And so whilst this woman's not mentioned by name, I'll tell you this. Fame is not a qualification for divine favor, friend. There's many godly people and man doesn't even recognize that they exist. But God knows them, and I'll tell you how God knows them. For God hears them because they cry unto Him daily as His children, asking God to intervene in the society in which we live. And the wonderful thing about Samson's father and mother is this, Manoah and his wife. Here is a godly couple that are living for God in the midst of a pagan society. Israel has gone to Baal worship, friend. Israel has gone away from God. Israel is under bondage of the Philistines. And yet here is a man called Manoah and his wife. And God is in touch with them and they with God. I'll tell you, that's mighty. That in the midst of all the darkness, in the midst of all the apostasy, in the midst of all the detention, friend, here is a couple that love the Lord. Now, they were childless. They had no child. You say, well, that's just it. Let me tell you, my friend, not to a Jewish family. It's not just it. Because I'll tell you this, whenever a woman was barren, she was a woman of ridicule. In the society in which you live, friend, it was looked upon as a reproach. It was looked upon as a stigma. It was looked upon something, friend, that was hurtful. And there was many a heartache, I'm sure, in this woman's heart, because the Bible says that she was barren. And she was reproached, and she was ridiculed, and many times she received disrespect simply because that she had not given birth to her child. And then the Bible says, in verse number 3, an angel of the Lord appears.
In the midst of her heart, now we knew nothing whether, we do know when Hannah cried to God, God answered Hannah's prayer. There's no mention in this passage of God's word that this woman was praying specifically for a child. But I do know this, that God came and God, the angel of the Lord appeared in the midst of her need. And friend, let me tell you, this was a visible manifestation of the invisible God. Look at verse number 22 very quickly. It says, "And Manoah said unto his wife, we shall surely die because we have seen God." This is a pre-incarnate appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ, friend. It was the angel of the Lord, but he said, we have seen God. And they receive a revelation from God concerning a child. Now, I have no doubt that this brought great joy to their hearts, just as it did to Elizabeth when she heard that her womb was going to be blessed with a child and God was going to give her John. And Sarah was blessed whenever God said he was going to give her Isaac. And Rachel was blessed whenever God told her he was going to give her Joseph. And Hannah was blessed whenever God gave her Samuel. But friend, I'll tell you, she learned the lesson. That the blessings of God, friend, are connected to purity of conduct. Look what it says in verse 4. "Now therefore beware," God says, "I pray thee, and drink not wine or strong drink, or eat not anything unclean." Holiness is the way to happiness. Remember this, friend, when you read that verse, here is a woman, and the Spirit of God says to the first word, he said, "Listen, beware, I pray thee." God says, "You're going to have a child. Now listen, mother, beware." Remember, holiness is a way to happiness. And then verses 4 and 5, the Holy Ghost speaks about separation. It says, "Lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, no razor shall come upon his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines." The Bible tells us about the Nazarite was set apart, Numbers chapter 6. But friend, there were two kinds of Nazarite. There were two types. There was one that was temporarily a Nazarite. The other was for life. And the Bible says here, "He shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, separated unto the Lord." Now let me tell you, friend, there is a Bible doctrine, and the Bible doctrine is that teaches separation, that we are separated unto the Lord. You know, separation is not isolation. We are not to cut ourselves off from people around us. We are not to withdraw ourselves and become hermits away, shut away in some monastery or convent. That is not the separation of the Scripture that God gives us. We are to be separate from sin. But we are not to be separate from sinners. We can't shut ourselves off from the world around us. God says we are in the world, but we're not off the world. Biblical separation. It is not isolation. It is not assimilation. You know, some people think, you know, that we just become part of the world around us. And so therefore, whatever group you're among, you just do what they do. You just be what they be. Wherever you are, that you just be whatever is around you. That's what dictates your actions. I'll tell you, as a child of God, friend, it's the Bible that dictates your actions, no matter where you are. The standard of the Word of God, biblical separation. You are separated unto the Lord. You are in the world, but you are not off the world. You are to be witnesses for Jesus Christ in this world in which you live. And so it spoke about his separation and then spoke about his service. Go to verse number 5, it says, "And he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines." Now notice what it didn't say. It didn't say he shall deliver them. It says he shall begin. And friend, the reality is this, that Samson was a strong, athletic young man. And yet the tragedy, when you read his story, it is the story of a young man whose life ends in tragedy. A young man with great expectations, a man with great potential. And yet the tragedy of his life is this, it ends in many ways in failure. And I tell you, it's a warning to each and every one of us. Never take anything for granted, friend. He that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall. But he did begin to deliver Israel. You see, Israel was far away from God, friend. 40 long years they were under the bondage and under the heel of the Philistines. They were far from God. We sing the hymn, I wandered far away from God. Maybe there's someone here this morning. And friend, let me be honest before God. That's exactly you. You're far from God. Maybe there's someone, and you remember a time when you enjoyed the things of God and the blessings of God and the Word of God and the people of God and the fellowship of God and the communion with God. But friend, your heart's not that anymore. Maybe you come to God's house because that's what you've done. But your heart's away from Him. Your heart's cold. Your heart's careless. You're not in touch with God anymore. And there we see in this passage, in this young man, yes, here's a people, and here's the revelation they're revealing. They were a people who were away from the Lord. But secondly, look at the reporting. Verse number 6. It says, then the woman came and told her husband, saying, a man of God came unto me, and his countenance was like the countenance of the angel of God, very terrible. I asked him not whence he was, neither told me his name. Here is a home relationship with whenever the woman receives the message, she's not mentioned by name, but God chooses her as the instrument that God is going to use and give birth to a son. But notice, my friend, here's a woman, she has a loving relationship with her husband, because immediately this woman goes to her husband. And she realizes the responsibility that will be in her husband if she is to bear a son. And so therefore she goes straight to the husband and she reports the tidings. She doesn't recognize this heavenly visitor. She knows there's something different here. But I see a wonderful relationship here. Here's a wife and a husband and they're sharing the one with the other. And she brings them the news that God has given. And what does Manoah do? The minute he does, whenever he hears it, friend, look at verse 8. Then Manoah entreated the Lord. He got before God. He knew that God was going to change their lives, friend, and he knew that he needed guidance. Now notice, he did not doubt the message which God had given through this angel of the Lord. He never doubted. What did he pray? He did not doubt. He did not disbelieve the message. So he went to God in prayer, verse 8. O my Lord, let the man of God which thou didst send come again to us and teach us what we shall do unto the child. Notice what he prayed. He says, God, listen, if you're giving me a child, I need wisdom. I need help. We need help. We need help to bring them up. We need help. We need guidance. We've never been parents before. We need your wisdom. God, would you tell us what to do? He didn't say, God, is it right you're going to give me a child? Is the message that you delivered unto my wife a real message of hope that we're going to have a son? No, friend. He took God immediately at his word and he says, God, listen, I want you to send the angel back that he may teach us what we shall do unto the child. Not whether the child's coming or not, but what we're going to do. And that's what I talked about to David and Diane this morning. They need wisdom, they need guidance. And as young parents, they need the guidance and the help of God to be good and to be godly parents. But I'll tell you this, here's a young lad and he's going to be blessed even before he's born, friend, because he's a praying father. He is a father who knows how to pray. He knows how to intercede before the throne of God in prayer. And he realizes that there's responsibility as a parent coming upon his shoulder. And he says, God, we need help. We need help. Here's a humble father. And he's crying to God before his child is born, friend, that God will show him the way ahead. Now, I'll tell you this, parent, just before we move on. Your child will see many things in your home. And friends, your child will experience many experiences in your home, but I ask you this question. When your child's reporting of what they see in your home, will they say, all my mom and dad do is fight? Is that what they see? Is that what they hear? Or will your child be able to say, You know, I remember my dad and I remember my mom. And I saw them pray. I heard them pray. I can tell you this from my earliest day, I can say before God, the memory that sticks out in my mind from my childhood more than anything else in the world, friend, is when I climbed the stairs at night and I walked up the corridor and I walked along the landing and I came to my mom's room. And I knew she was on her knees before God at that bed and I could hear her pray. I heard her pray. I heard her cry to God for her family. I heard her cry to God for each one of us. Individually, friend, not collectively. One by one, she went down us. And I can honestly say, I sat at the door, outside her bedroom, and I heard, and I listened to her pray, yes, for me. I was the last of the family, so just one after the other. She went, started with my brother, she went down to me. And I ask you before God again this morning, friend, is that the memory that your child will have? Is that the lasting memory that you want? Is that the lasting impression? Whenever they leave your home and go out into the world, can they honestly say, listen, I know that I'm in my mother's prayers. I know that I'm in my father's prayers because I've heard them pray. And that's what Manoah did. He got on his knees before God, friend, and he says, God, please send the man. Send the man back to speak to us. For God, I want to know what to do. What am I going to do with the child? God, I need direction. No, God answered the prayer, verse 9. God hearkened to the voice of Manoah. The angel of the Lord came back, and the angel of the Lord came back to the woman again. This is a godly woman, friend. In touch with God. Her husband's not with her, but immediately the man of God comes because his wife has heard her husband's prayer. And so she runs out, or runs from the field, and she runs and gets her husband. She says, husband, come quick. The man's come back again. And I can tell you, friend, if you mean business with God, God will mean business with you. If you mean business with God concerning your family, God will mean business with you. And God heard his cry, and the man of God and the angel of the Lord appeared again. And his wife runs and gets him. You know, Manoah's not jealous that the angel appears to his wife. He's not running around with a chip on his shoulder. He's not carnal about it. He's more interested in what's God got to say. And then we see in the next verses the requesting. Very quickly, time's away. It says here in verse number 11, and Noah rose and went after his wife and came to the man and said unto him, art thou the man that spakest unto the woman? He said, I am. Manoah said, now let thy words come to pass. How shall we order the child? That's what he's asking. God, tell us what to do. What to do to bring up this son? This child that you're giving us. God, how shall we order? How shall we do unto him? So the angel of the Lord starts once again with a warning. Verse 13, and the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, of all that I said unto the woman, let her beware. You know, there are many people today that want to ignore the negatives. You just don't want to hear what God forbids. But God tells you what you're not to do. People don't want to know that anymore. I'll do what I want to do. They just ignore them, friend. Let me tell you. The Lord tells us what to do, and it's your business and mine. Do it. Train up a child and we shall go. When he's old, he'll not depart from it. You want God's blessings as a parent? I'll tell you. Obey God. Obey God. We read in Deuteronomy chapter 6. What were to do? Teach your child diligently. But I want us to come quickly to verse 15. It says, and Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, I pray thee, let us detain thee until we shall make a kid for thee. And Manoah desires to be kind and respectful to his messenger. He has heard the message. Now he's respectful to the messenger. He wants his visitor to receive kindness at his hand. A generous spirit, a hospitable spirit, and he offers him a meal. But in response to that, the angel of the Lord says, no, even though you detain me, even though you detain me, you make your offering unto the Lord. And then Manoah asks him another question. He says, what's your name? I think this is interesting. He said, what is thy name? Verse 18. Or verse 17. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, what is thy name, that when thy sayings come to pass, we may do thee honor? And the angel of the Lord said unto him, why askest thou thus after my name? Now mark this. Seeing it is... It doesn't say a secret. It is seeing it is secret. Now you say, what's that all about? Friend, let me tell you what that word means. The word secret, in translated here in our English, it comes from a group, a word, and the root word means wonderful. Wonderful. You ask after my name, not as a secret, my name is wonderful. My name is wonderful. Then turn in your mind to the book of Isaiah chapter 9. What does it say? He shall be called wonderful. See, it was the Lord. And the Lord, in actual fact, was revealing. We think of the word secret. It means not to be known. Friend, I'll tell you, not to be permitted to be known. Or permitted to be known. That wasn't what the Holy Ghost is recording. My name is wonderful. Rather than refusing to answer Manoah, he was rebuking him. Why askest thou after me? Do you not see who I am? Do you not realize who it is? Manoah's wife, she knew there was something different about his countenance. She said, listen, his countenance was terrible. It was awesome. And what the angel of the Lord, or what the Lord was saying to Manoah, is, why haven't you asked after my name? Do you not recognize who I am? I am wonderful. It's a name for Jesus. It was a revelation of the Lord himself. You know, sometimes we ask for more light when all that we need is better eyes to see the light that we already have. Oh, that God would open our eyes to behold the wonderful things. And that's why it says, and with us I close verse 19, so Manoah took a kid of the meat offering and he offered it upon the rock unto the Lord, and the angel did wondrously. He did wondrously. And Manoah knew that it was the Lord, and he said, we, verse 22, we shall surely die because we have seen God. Verse 24, it says, and the woman bare a son, and she called his name Samson, and the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. I'll tell you, that's what we want for our sons and our daughters. That's why I believe with all my heart that Diane and David wants for that little girl, Emily, that God put into their lives and into their homes and into their families, friend. That this little child will grow and that the Lord will bless them. Bless her. That's my prayer too. For your children. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move at times in the camp of Dan, between Zorah and Eshtaol. God's moving, friend. God's beginning to move. Oh, may God move in our hearts today. And we will go through with him. For Jesus' sake. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy blessed Holy Spirit moving in our hearts and leading us out after Christ.
We thank Thee for those today that have a personal knowledge of Your Son and are seeking to walk in the light of His Word, and they're following Christ. Help us not to desire to follow the world today, with all its tinsel and all that it has to offer, and yet, Lord, it passes away. But help us to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all these things shall be added unto us. Help us to put Thee first. And, O God, I pray for parents in this service this morning. I pray that they might ask of Thee, God, give me wisdom. How to bring up this child, what to do. And, Father, You have said that we might love the Lord with all our hearts and with all our soul and with all our mind, with all our strength. In other words, Lord, we're to have a personal knowledge of You first. And then we teach it diligently, Thy truth, Thy word, unto our children. Lord, I pray the day that You'll close with the last one. Of all the families of this congregation, close the last one in me yourself. If they're not saved, Lord, would You save them? If they've wandered away in bypath meadows, Lord, would You bring them home, bring them back? And for Your children, bless them with power, the Spirit of the Lord moving upon them, in them and through them, for the glory of Thy name. We ask these things for Jesus' sake.